Blog Talk Radio.
There it is. Let's do this, okay? Now, this is the Eric Terrell Show. We are live, and I want to thank all of you for joining me yet again, okay? We are leading up to the final months of the fifth season of the Eric Terrell Show. Shows are getting interesting. Surveys are being taken, and very, 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 very special guests are returning. It is an exciting season, and it is an election season, and we will have a series. We're going to have an election 2016 series very soon, in how many weeks? 2 or 3 weeks. Prior to that, people, we are going to reveal the season finale survey. You understand? Every year we have a survey, and it's an exciting survey. It's a very debatable survey. It is a very debatable survey, and it will culminate with a winner or a winning side on the final show. Today, we will have a very, very poignant episode of the show. Today, we're talking about a family. We're talking about religion. Now, the three premier topics. The three only topics that we do here on the Eric Terrell Show, we know my topics. They're race, relationships, and religion. And we've been doing a lot less of religion, which is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Pastor Danny Sutton is going to join me. And that's that, okay? I'm washing my hands with announcements. I want to remind you all that I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did a phone blast on the Eric Terrell Show. It was a very exciting phone blast. People commented on Facebook. People went crazy. People called in. And the phone blast was about interreligious dating. It was about dating someone who was not of your religion. Maybe you're dating an atheist or dating a Muslim. If you're a Christian, a Catholic or a Baptist, dating outside of your religion. And that kind of spins off into this topic. This is a completely different topic and a much more serious topic, you see, because a partner is a loved one. Someone becomes your partner, they become your loved one. You love that one, and that one loves you. You are loved ones. I guess you're a love too. The two of you are loved ones with one another. You're a love duo, okay? You're a love duo, and love is in the duo. Now, we know that God is love. So how much love is in your love if God is not in your love? And that not only applies on this particular episode to your loved one, to your partner, but it applies to all of your loved ones across the board, your family, your mother, your father, your long-lost prodigal son or brother, your child, okay? Roommate, I mean, all of them. Now, we're familiar, those of us who have spent such a significant time in church and in the faith, we're familiar with the idea of planting the seed. And that is what you should do. That's what most Christians will point to when it comes to this discussion. Plant the seed. That's all you got to do. Plant the seed. It's all about planting the seed. God waters the seed. You plant the seed. You got to plant the seed. It's our job to plant the seed. It's not our job to make the seed grow. Just plant the seed. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job. Here's the thing, okay? There's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of pain when it comes to relationships with someone who you've planted this seed in, but you can't tell you planted the seed. Okay, you don't know what's happened to your seed. Okay, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of doubt, and there's a lot of fear. First of all, this is something that I've learned. You can't pray for them, okay? You can't like intercede. You can't pray, like they're not covered, okay? You can pray, God, let them see the light. You can do that, from what I understand, that's okay. But you can't pray, God, deliver them from cancer. You can't say, God, rescue them from gang violence. God, I want you to do what you do. I want you to cover them. I want you to put your anointing. I want you to save them, to rescue them from whatever they're dealing with. I mean, you can ask God to save them because that's what you're supposed to do. But you can't necessarily just show up in the hospital room and say, okay, let's pray. God, take care of your people. You can't do that. And that's what hurts. Because this is your wife. This is your husband. This is your mother. Okay? This is your friend. I can't do anything about my friend who's in pain. And I don't know exactly how to respond to that. Now, we need strategies, of course. We need strategies when it comes to dealing with that, and we need strategies when it comes to planting that seed. This is hard. This is very hard. But I mean, let's think about it. How can heaven be heaven if someone I love won't be there? All right, I'm supposed to be so happy in heaven. I have to see you die, knowing I will never see you again. And this is not something that's just supposed to be okay. I planted the seed, that's fine, but how do I deal with this? And that's what Pastor Sutton is going to help us out with. He's also going to help us out with some strategies. Okay, now I do not know. Let me check my phone. I don't know. Where my co-host is or what number she's calling in by. I know the pastor's number, but there's a foreign number, studio, and I'm not going to answer it because my co-host has not texted me. I want to say this as well before we talk to Pastor Sutton. I want to say when it comes to your children, and this is for those of us or for the parents, I guess, that because this is the one lesson that I can give. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at here. Look at what we got. Look at what we got. We've got Asia down. And what's happening, girl? What's going on?
Hey.
You saw me confused. I was really confused.
It's me. It's me.
No. There's a different number. But anyway, never mind that. What do you think? What do you think about this topic?
I've been listening in, and I can definitely agree with you that if you want your loved ones to be saved and, you know, the ending result is being saved in that salvation when you pass on, that you know, you live again. And I definitely agree that you can't force people to do certain things, but you can definitely be there for them. You can mentor them. You can, you know, make responsible decisions for them. Because, yeah, you it's something. What else? It's like, what else do we have? It's something that you get to look forward to. And I think we are responsible. You should be held responsible.
Yeah.
For I totally agree with that.
Yeah. To a certain extent, you have to be responsible. And if you notice, I keep throwing roommate in here. I keep throwing in roommate. Your roommate is not your loved one. Your roommate is not your family. But for some reason, that relationship sticks out to me really heavily because I keep thinking about people that we see every single day. And just What's that, Asia? Did you?
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear that?
Yeah.
What?
No.
An alarm just went off. I said, "What did I thought I said something? I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. Okay, we're gonna talk to. We're gonna Pastor Sutton. And I want to say that I did have scriptures. I'm not gonna give them to you, but I just want to tell you that I do have scriptures. I wanted to give them to you, but because the pastor has scriptures, but I wanted everybody to know that I have scriptures too. I have scriptures. So just know that I have them. Proverbs 22:6, Jonah 2:9, and maybe we'll discuss them in a second. But listen here, okay? This is our fifth anniversary, and this man has been with us for quite a few years on the Eric Terrell Show. He's a very valued, very, very, very treasured guest on the Eric Terrell Show. He joins us on Nick and Eric in the Morning as well. He is very near and dear to all of us at Triumph Baptist Church. He is the senior pastor and founder of the Kingdom Life Church in Philadelphia. And here's a fun fact, okay? Did you know that Danny Sutton was involved in ministry at 11 years old and the youngest Pennsylvania Baptist State Convention president of the youth ministry? That's a cool thing. I learned that. he's got tons of education. I'm not gonna do the litany. Friends International Christian University, St. Joe's, Florida. What's going on, Patrick Sutton? How you doing?
Hey, Eric, how you doing, man? Glad to be on the show again.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. Now, here's two facts, Pastor Sutton, that I didn't say. These are two of my favorite facts. Number one, Pastor Sutton said that he's going to try and come out to see me perform. That's a fact. I want to say that. That's what he told me. And
that's a fact.
Another fact is that Pastor Danny Sutton loves WWE. He loves wrestling. He takes his children to wrestling events. And I always like to point out that because it makes me feel more normal because I love wrestling.
There's nothing wrong with wrestling, man. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
I know.
I absolutely love wrestling. We watch No Mercy on Sunday.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, I'm 2 weeks behind, so don't spoil it. But I can't
wait.
I won't
tell you nothing. It was good though. It was a good show.
Cool. That's all good. Now, Pastor, we've been toiling with this. I've been toiling with it, and I want to first of all say that before we get to family, before we get to the brother, the sister, the mother, the child, and it's funny, I throw all of those out simultaneously when those are all really, really different relationships. And we'll try to get to each one in specific. I mean, as many as we can, but if we can. But before we get to family, I want to start with relationships. I want to start with dating. I mean, should a Christian date a non-Christian or an atheist? And if they decide to do so, because this is a topic that we did 2 weeks ago, if they do so, how long should they wait until this person accepts God? You've planted the seed. How long are you waiting?
Well, I think your question is it is a very broad question, and I don't think that you can really paint it or give an answer that would be accurate, that would be a one-size-fits-all for all people and for all that who are dealing with that situation. I do, however, believe that that God uses people to draw other people to Him. When you look in the scriptures, there are countless examples of people of faith who were connected to someone else who possibly did not have the same faith in the beginning, but the individual who the Lord used, who was faithful and who was believing, their relationship played a major part in them accepting Christ or following the path that God had set for their lives. So I don't believe that it's an either or one without the other. I think they go together. Having said that, I also believe that in as it relates to relationally and how we connect with those who we possibly might, you know, quote unquote, fall in love with or things of that nature, I believe that we need to really define what that relationship looks like. I'll give you an example. I don't think that we in the church have been taught how to date correctly. I think that we paint a picture, so to speak, to suggest that you should just be looking for your husband, you should just be looking for your wife, and I kind of agree with that to a certain extent, but I'm also of the understanding that if I'm single, I can be friends with you, and not cross a certain barrier, and my light can still shine. And something can develop, and if it does, then it does, and if it doesn't, then it doesn't. So I think that there's just a way that you have to deal with it, and each situation is different based on the persons who are in it and the personalities that they have for that relationship.
Right. Okay. Now, Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter two and verse 9 says, salvation is of the Lord. That's the final part of the verse. Salvation is of the Lord. It says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, should we take that to mean that we are not accountable for or responsible for a loved one being saved?
I don't believe that we can say. I think the situation would be whether or not we are accountable as it relates to how our light shines towards them, but the decision ultimately is left up to the individual. None of us are saved through somebody else other than Christ. That him being our mediator, my grandma can't be my mediator, my aunt can't be my mediator, my cousin can't be my mediator. The truth of the matter is I have to come to a saving relationship and saving knowledge of Christ for myself personally. And that's for every individual.
Yeah.
And so and if that is the case, Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 30, it says, choose ye, God talks to the children of Israel, Moses, and he says, choose Jesus Day, and he talks about how he sets blessing and cursing in front of everyone. And then he tells them, now choose blessing or choose life so that you and your seed might be blessed. But the choice is ultimately up to the individual.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can lead them. Just like they say, you can lead the horse to water. You can't make them drink. Asia, do you have any thoughts so far?
No, this was very insightful. Pretty much proving that I have to do what I have to do in order to make sure that my friends and my family are straight.
Right. Definitely. Now, another verse chapter that I found. Matthew chapter 10, 35 and 36. Says that he would turn a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and it's basically addressing having family members, immediate family members that are not believers, and Jesus is not necessarily desiring to separate people, but he's explaining the reality that there will inevitably be a division in a family between a family of believers and non-believers. And not only is there a division, Pastor, but I feel like there is pain knowing that this person is not covered. How do we deal with the pain? How do we deal with the division? Is it just something that we just have to chalk it up and say, okay, I planted the seed, I've done my job, I have to just not worry about it at all. I love them, but too bad. I mean, what? Do you have any counsel for dealing with that?
I think you're touching a very sensitive and prominent issue that is in our culture, because we are a people. I think as our culture is going and growing, one of the things that we have kind of walked away from is family. When I was younger, family was such a it was such a major part of our society. Everything was kind of centered around the family. I mean, just think of some of the things that we used to do coming up, you know, Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas dinners. But then outside of that, there are some who would have weekly family breakfasts or weekly family dinners that they would have. And I'm not just talking about an immediate type of thing with mom, dad, and kids. We're talking mom, dad, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandma. And so we were very family-oriented culture. Family reunions was the real big thing. I mean, it was, you would see folk with their T-shirts. But as time has progressed, we've time has progressed, we've noticed people kind of pulled away from that, and I don't believe that they've necessarily have pulled away from family per se because they don't like family. I think that we've pulled into a situation where we we're choosing our family. We're choosing what we want to connect and want to be a part of. And I think the same goes as it relates to how our faith is and how we're connected in the kingdom of God. If I am a believer and my mother is not a believer, well, that doesn't make her not my mother, but there are going to be some things that we're going to be divided upon because of the choice that I've made in my faith and the choice that she's made in her faith or lack thereof. And it is imperative that we remember that when we accept Christ, we accept him and literally suggest that we are engulfed into a new family, which if any man be in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, I'm going to continue to live out my faith. My love for my relatives will never go away. It will never diminish. But if I have to choose between my faith and my family, I'm going to have to choose my faith because my faith is my new family.
Nice.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to deal with because most people would tell us that family comes first. But just even had a situation where they were bringing him some information concerning his mother, and he said, "Well, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my father? Who is my brother?" He wasn't saying that in a derogatory term. Even when he performed the first miracle, what we call the first miracle, which was the feast of the wedding, he turned the water into wine, and Jesus' mother says to him, you know, "Come on, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Come on, you need to, you know, come on, do something." And Jesus said to her, "No, I can't move on your word." He chose his heavenly father over his earthly mother in that particular scene, in that scenario. And that's something that we're going to be challenged with, I think, as the years continue to we're given or blessed by. I think we're going to constantly be challenged with whether or not it's faith or family, which one comes first. And if faith isn't first, then what the enemy will do is constantly use different things in the family to pull you away from faith. I mean, Cain killed Abel.
Right.
You know, so I think you got to be. We have to be careful to remember what our new family what our new family represents. You know, the word says we are born again, so we're in a new family in that instance.
Yeah. Our faith is our family. It's so amazing when you paint the picture of the traditional black family, which seems like a movie these days. I literally thought about Madea's family reunion. When you said family reunion, I'm like, man, we see it on movies now. Like it's really traditional. It really seems like something that really doesn't happen much anymore.
We're definitely away from that away from that view and that scene, and it's there is a sadness that comes with it, and I've heard, you know, different comedians and others who make jokes about this, but you know, these are some realities that we have to be faced with. You know, when I was coming, I mean, I came up right in the middle of things really kind of shifting in the transition of how we would view family, how we would handle family. But I still was in touch with some of the old traditional ways because some of my elders were still blessed to be living at the time. And one of the things I think that is very interesting is that, you know, my great grandmother She passed when she was 94. My grandmother is still, she's still living, and she's, I want to say she's, you know, close to 70, if not past,
yeah,
70, at this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But now fast forward to some of the generation that is in front of me, their grandmother is in their late 30s or 40s, early 40s.
Right.
Big difference.
Yep. Yes. Huge difference.
Big difference.
Yeah, the young grandparents don't take on that CEO role like the elders do. They don't take on
we're doing a family reunion.
We're bringing everybody together. Definitely.
They don't do that. Go ahead.
Before we go, let's talk strategy. Okay. You've given us good strategies so far. You really have. But I guess if you have any more, I mean, any more when it comes to, I mean, we've talked about dealing with the seed being planted, and we've talked about why it's hard and why things are the way they are and everything. But let's get more into for the next few minutes before we go, actually planting that seed. I mean strategies for in-house evangelism. This, I feel, is the most important evangelism, and it's the hardest evangelism. It's tough. The person that you see every day, you don't really know how to talk to them. And in many cases, like we said before, we don't like them a lot of times. We love them, but a lot of times we just don't really like them a whole lot. If you have any, because I've got one strategy, and that's all I've got. And all I've got is just to love them as much as you can, and to love as much as you can. To love, period, because if they can see that Christ in you, then maybe they'll know what kind of seed you've been trying to plant. But what kind of strategies would you?
I think that you're absolutely on it when you say that you got to love and love as much as you can. But one of the things that we don't, I think, deal with enough when it relates to love is that there are some times where love hurts and it's tough. And in that loving nature, I also have to be real. And I think one of the things that really hinders families from seeing the transformation in someone else is when they already know you from before, because they grew up with you, because they've hung with you, they lived with you, you slept in the same room together for years and all that. So they already know who you are. They have a perception of your character and have a ideology, so to speak, of how you conduct and carry yourself. And I think that sometimes we paint this false picture of who we are when, you know, we say Christ has come in our life and he's made us brand new, and yes, he does, but at the same token, there's still a realness with you that needs to connect with who it is that you are connected to as it relates to in family with or in relationship with, and I don't think that you should lose that realness. So, yeah, I got to love you, and, yeah, I got to, you know, show love and all of that, but at the same time, I need to be real enough to understand that it took me a long time to get to the point where I am, for me to accept a certain truth, accept the fact of who God is and Christ is in my life. And my prayer ought to be that the Lord would use his Holy Spirit to soften the heart of my loved ones so that they can then receive in the same way that I have received. Our assignment is, and I want to be very clear about what I'm getting ready to say, because I know you're running out of time, but our assignment is to either plant a seed or water the seed, but our assignment is not to grow the seed.
Right.
We only plant, or we water. Paul says, he says that some plant, others water, but it is God who gives the increase. And I think we ought not stress ourselves about the increase. We ought to stress ourselves about the planting of the seed and the watering and the nurturing of that seed, and how we develop that as it relates to how we conduct ourselves around those who are looking for God to do something great in their lives.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I mean, these are the things that we know. We know we got to plant that seed, but that's awesome. We have to water it too.
You got to water
all of
it. You need to hear.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't just plant a seed and expect it to grow. There's got to be some water that comes around it, comes behind it, and that's the realness. That's the realness that goes along with it. you know, and you can't switch it up because just because it's a liquid doesn't mean that it's water. It has to be pure water, which means I can't change it. I can't alter, you know, who I am. I can't be saved today and, you know, not tomorrow. You know, I got to be consistent with what I'm presenting.
That's it. There you go. Now, do you have any last words, any last counsel, or you can squeeze in any Kingdom Life events that are coming up? I don't know. You want
to? Well, I would like to tell all of those who are listening and if you're praying for, you know, someone in your family and you're believing and you're waiting, believing for God to save them, for them to come to the saving grace and knowledge of who Christ is, and you want them to be a part of the same family as you, don't lose hope and give up in your prayer. Continue to believe God that it will happen, and you keep planting seeds and watering as God gives you the strength and increase to do, and you'll see something great that happens in the very near future. And I want to offer you an opportunity to even invite them to come to church with you. Perhaps maybe it might not just be your church. Invite them to go to another church and you go with them. Make it new for both of you. Try different things that would get them into an experience that you know will benefit them. Our church is always open and available if you would love to come. We have services on Sundays at 11 a.m. We're in the Omni section of Kingdom Life Church. You can visit us online at tklcm.org, and you can always connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Danny Sutton, it's not hard to find me, and I'll be praying for you and believing God that you'll see your faith and family actually connect.
There we go. There you have it. He is always on the go, but never hard to find. There you go. You can find him. He's the man, my man. I appreciate you, man. You are awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and everything that you do, and all the years you join in the show, the morning show as well. Everything. We really appreciate you. And
thank you for having me, man. Anytime, you know, all you gotta do is call. I'm right there for you.
That's it. There you go. You heard him say it. He's always going. Never hard to find. And Asia Downing, I appreciate you, Asia. You made it. You made it on the show today. That's right. In 2 weeks, we're gonna reveal our season finale survey. We're gonna reveal what it is, and the week after that, we're going to begin with the city controller of Philadelphia. We're going to begin our election 2016 series. We're gonna have an awesome time, and we're gonna get really, really deep. We are going to go there. We went there today. We are going to go there in every facet of going there. Okay. Listen here. Love is the most important thing. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth. And love love. It's not hard to love love because all you've got to do is love God, because God is love. And God is love. Okay. There you have it, people. Appreciate y'all.
All right.